Daf is Daf Kuf Nun Dalid, and we had gotten up to towards the end of Kuf Nun Gimel and Beis. The Gemara is discussing the issue of Mechamer. Mechamer is where you do a malacha together with an animal. You put something on the animal and then you escort the animal. So it's actually a person together with the animal doing the work. So we are on the wide lines, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 lines down here on Kuf Nun Gimel Amud Beis. We're going to see 3 opinions. What is the nature of obligation for Machamer on Shabbos? Amar Rami Bar Chama says, HaMachamer Acher Behemto B'Shabbos. Somebody who's pursuing his animal, you know, put a package on the animal on Shabbos, and he whistles, and the animal now walks, and he's following the animal on Shabbos. So the animal is carrying sort of together with him. B'shogeg, if he did it, forgetting that the day was Shabbos, Chayav Chatos, he has to bring a sin offering. B'mezid, if he did it, knowing that the day was Shabbos, so then Chayav Skila, then he gets stoned to death. So my time, so this sounds like almost a malacha. It sounds like it's very, very severe. So what's the logic of this? Amar Rav, Rav said, Amar Karkas, the Pasuk says, Lo sa'asaka malacha atu vehemtacha, don't do any malacha, you and your animal. So, behemto dumi didei. That compares the animal to the person. So, mahu b'shogeg chayav chatos b'mezid chayav skila. Just like the things that the person himself would do. If the person carries something from the private domain to the public domain, or if a person carries something 4 amos in the public domain, if he did it forgetting that the day was Shabbos, he would have to bring a sin offering. And if he did it knowing that the day was Shabbos, he would get stoned to death. So too, when the animal does a malacha with the person, the animal's carrying and the person's leading it, or the person's following it, so too there is a, if it was done by mistake, there'd be a chiyuv chatas, he has to bring a sin offering, and if he did it on purpose, he would get stoned. So Amar Rav, Rav said he didn't like this idea of Rami Bar Chama, shtei tshuvas badavar, because of 2 problems with this. Chada, first of all, the Torah says, in regards to sin offerings generally, Torah is yilachem, lo se b'shkaga, there'll be 1 law for you for those who do it by mistake. V'anefesh shetasa b'yad rama. Then the Torah compares sin offerings to somebody who does the sin of idol worship. Hukshakol Torah kula avodah zara. All sin offerings are compared to idol worship. Ma avodah zara david ma'aseh begufei. Idol worship is where the person does the act. So how could you have to bring a sin offering when you're not doing an act? It's your animal doing the act. You're just whistling. You're just following. Oh, so now we have a Mishnah. Amachalas Shabbos Davar Shachayevnos Shigasol Chatos. Mishnah and Sanhedrin. Mishnah is talking about the different times that a person might get the punishment of skila, being stoned. So it says, what's an example? Someone who violates Shabbos, doing an act that if he did it by mistake would have to bring a chatos, falls down no skila. And doing that act, if he did it on purpose, would have to get skila. So that implies Mechlal, the Ikamidi, there are some acts of violating Shabbos, Dein Chayevnos Shigasol Chatos, where you don't have to do a sin offering by mistake, velos donos karis skila, and therefore if he did it on purpose, he wouldn't get stoned. Well, minute. So what is that? What is the violation of Shabbos that wouldn't require a punishment of skila? Must be machamer. So you see that the lav of machamer doesn't get a chatas offering by mistake, nor does it have skila for being done on purpose. So where's the low? That's not a proof, that latter Mishnah and Sanhedrin, which says that there is stoning for those acts that on Shabbos there would be a chatas for. So it implies that there are certain acts that are not allowed on Shabbos that wouldn't obligate you to bring a chatas. What's that act that you would not have to bring a chatas for, but you're still not allowed to do it biblically on Shabbos? Tchum, the prohibition of walking outside of the tchum, walking outside of where you began Shabbos. Alim de Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds that there's a biblical sin of tchumen, it's not rabbinic. Or Havara, the law against lighting a fire. Alim de Rabbi Yossi, since the Torah says specifically, don't light fires. So according to Rabbi Yossi, that tells you, l'lav yatzis, that Havara is not a malacha. If it would be a regular malacha with the punishment of skila, it would have been included in the phrase lo sasaka malacha, don't do malacha, since the Torah also mentions specifically lo sevaru eish, don't light a fire. That's to tell you that lighting a fire is less than a malacha, so it doesn't carry a punishment of skila, but it is a biblical sin. Rav Zvid Masni Hachi. Now Rav Zvid had a different version of Rami Bar Chama's views on machamer. Now starting today's daf kuf and dalam and aleph. Somebody was following an animal on Shabbos. He put a load on the animal, and the animal carried the load out from the house to the street, and he's following the animal. He did it on a mistake. He does not have to bring a sin offering because it's not like Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is where the person does a sin with his own body. Here, the sin is being done by the animal. He's just following it. He's directing it. He's guiding it. So he doesn't have to bring a sin offering. However, b'mezid, but if he did it on purpose, chayav skil, he has to bring, he does get killed and get stoned to death because of the pasuk in regards to Shabbos of Atu v'Emtecha, that you're compared to your animal. So just like when you do a malacha, you'd get skila. When your animal does the malacha for you on your behalf, with you leading it, you would also get skila. Masiv Rava, so Rava challenges from the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. The Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, what's an example of a sin that gets the penalty of stoning? Hamchalas a Shabbos, someone who violates Shabbos, but Davashachayav no Shkil Gasu Chatos, with those types of acts that worry to do it by mistake, when only have to bring a Chatos. Chayav no Zdono Skila, if he did it on purpose, he has to get Skila, stoning to death. That implies, Ha'in Chayav no Shkil Gasu Chatos, there are certain acts that you wouldn't have to bring a sin offering, a chatas, if you did it by mistake. And also, in chayav and alzono skila. And if he did it on purpose, he wouldn't get skila. So, it must be that that is machamer. That machamer doesn't get skila either. So, I said, no, mikatani ain chayav, did it say explicitly? There's some acts that there's no chatas and no skila? Maybe not. This is what it means to say. Those acts that were you to do it by mistake, you'd have to bring a sin offering. Those acts, if done on purpose on Shabbos, you get stoned. But there is something. You don't have to bring a sin offering if you did it by mistake, namely machamer, because it's not you, it's the animal doing. And sin offerings are only when the person does. But if he did it on purpose, he would get stoned to death. Mind you, what's that? Machamer. All right, so that is the second version of Rami Bar Chama. So two versions of Rami Bar Chama. According to one version, Machamer is virtually like a malacha, b'shogeg, a sin offering, b'mezid, skila. According to the other version, Machamer b'shogeg does not have a sin offering because it's not like Avodah Zarah. But b'mezid, there would still be skila. If he did it on purpose, he would still be stoned to death. Rava Achud, Rav Mari Bar Rachel. Now Rava, the third idea here, Rava, the brother of Rav Mari Bar Rachel. I mean, some say it was Avud Rav Mari Bar Rachel. He was the father of Rav Mari Baracha. So the Gemara now goes off on a tangent. Lishna Basan, where did this last version that Rava was the father of Rav Mari Barachel? Kasha Hadar Rav, Ashra the Rav Mari Barachel. You have a problem. Why did Rav have to announce that Rav Mari Barachel could take a position of leadership over the community? The Torah says, Mikarev Achecha Tasam Alecha Melech. You have to appoint a Jew from your brethren as your leader. And apparently there was a whole issue about Rav Mari Barachel, that maybe his father, right, his name, interesting name, Mari, the son of Rachel. Why would the name be Mari, the son of Rachel? Why, normally, the Pasuk says you assign families by their father's source, right? The person whose father is from Shevet Dan, he's also from Shevet Dan. We don't look at where the mother is from, we look at the father. The verse says, L'mishpachosam l'vesavosam. To their families, it's based on their father's household. So why would he be called Rav Mari Bar Rachel? He should be called Rav Mari Bar Rava, Rav Mari the son of Rava, whoever his father was. So Pashup Shat, the simple explanation, would be that really his father wasn't Jewish, and that Rachel was a Jewish woman who was taken captive by a non-Jew, and the non-Jew impregnated her, so the father wasn't Jewish. And there was a whole question, if the father wasn't Jewish, maybe he shouldn't be able to be appointed as a leader of the Jewish community. And we know that Rav, actually, Rav Mari Barachel, Rav announced in Maseches Yevamos that Rav Mari Barachel is appropriate to be appointed. Umayni reports to the Bible, and he was appointed as a policeman over the community. So you see that his father wasn't Jewish. That's why you needed Rav to say that he could be the leader. But if you're going to tell me that Rava was his father, so then his father is Jewish. So I said, no, listen, Dilma, maybe Trey Mari Barachel Hava. There were two different Mari Barachels. One, his father wasn't Jewish, and you need Rav to say he could still be appointed as a leader. And the other was what we have over here, that Rav Mari Barachel, who has opinions about Hilchos Shabbos and Machamer, his father was Rava. Okay, either way, whether this is Rava, Rava is the brother of Rav Mari Barachel, or Rava is the father of Rav Mari Barachel, So Rava, the father or brother of Rav Meir Bar Rachel, says the following idea about Mechamer. Have a masn l'hashmaita mishmed Rabbi Yochanan. So he used to say over this lesson in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Liftor, and he created widespread exemption. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, he used to say like this, Rava, the brother of Rav Meir Bar Rachel, or Rava, the father of Rav Meir Bar Rachel, used to say in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Hamachamer Acher Behemto B'Shabbes, someone who puts the package on the animal, and then he follows the animal out, and he's directing the animal with his voice. Pater Miklum, he's fully exempt. B'Shogiglo Mechayev Chatas, he wouldn't have to bring a sin offering. And if he did it by mistake, forgetting that the day was Shabbos, why, as we said before, the Hukshah Kolak Torah Kula Avodah Zarah, because sin offerings are compared to idol worship. And idol worship, the person himself is doing the act, not that the animal is doing the act. And even if he did it on purpose, he would not have to get stoned. That's not because we have that Mishnah in Sanhedrin. When do you get stoned for violating Shabbos? If somebody violates Shabbos, those activities, the malachos, the 39 malachos, that if you did it by mistake, you have to bring a sin offering. Also, no skila. If you did it on purpose, you get skila, implying chayin chayavin al shagasol chatas. If it's not an act that you did, it's an act that your animal does, and therefore it's not like avodah zarah. Therefore, there's no obligation of a sin offering. If there's no obligation of a sin offering in chayavin al dono skila, there also would not be any possibility of getting stoned to death. So now, Rava went on further in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Belav nami lo mechayev. When the Torah says lo sa'asach ha'malacha ata uvehemtacha, you and your animal, it doesn't include the mechamer. The Torah says v'yom hashvi shabbos l'Hashem elokecha in the Aseret Dibros lo sa'asach ha'malacha, don't do any work ata uvincha uvitecha, you, your son, your daughter, avdecha v'amasecha, your slave, your male or female slave. Uvehemtacha, your animal, the gercha shebi sharecha. So there's a lav, lo sasa komalacha. That lav does not apply to mechamer. Why? Why would there not be any punishment for the lav? The Torah says explicitly, your animal shouldn't do work. And if your animal's carrying and you're guiding it with your voice, your animal's doing work, the answer is like this. Havale lav shenitan lazaras misas pestin. This verse is needed to tell me that in certain cases, by violating this verse, there is a punishment of the court. Skila, stoning for a person who violates this verse. Kol lav shenitin lazara sinus bezdin. Since the lav was needed to tell me that in certain cases a person would get the death penalty. Ein lokin alav. You don't get lashes for violating that lav. That's based on something that we learn in Maseches Makos. Gemara says that all malkos, all lashes, are derived from the lav of chasima, from the prohibition where the Torah says, Lo sachsom shor b'disho, do not muzzle the ox when it is working on the threshing floor. So that prohibition of muzzling the ox does not have a death penalty attached to it. It just has the penalty of lashes. So therefore the Gemara says, those prohibitions that only have lashes, that's what creates lashes, but a prohibition that's needed to tell me that there is even a death penalty would not be able to create lashes. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says, the prohibition of Shabbos, lo sa'asach ha'malacha, that prohibition is needed for the death penalty. So it can't be to create even a penalty of lashes for Mechamer. So Mechamer is not going to have a chatas if he did it by mistake because it's not like Avodah Zarah. It's not going to have skila if he did it on purpose because if there's no chatas, then there's no skila in regards to Shabbos. And it won't even have malkos, won't even have lashes, because the verse, lo sa'asach ha'malacha, the prohibition, the lav, lo sa'asach ha'malacha, is needed to justify the death penalty, and something which is needed to justify the death penalty cannot be used to create a prohibition with a penalty of lashes. Says the Gemara, v'afilu mandamar, even the view of Rabbi Shmuel and Maseches Makos, who holds Lokin, who says you do get lashes for a lav shenitan lazaras misas bezdin, but for mechamer you wouldn't get lashes. Why? Because the Torah could have said lichta rachmana lo sa'asa komalacha uvehemtacha. Right? The Torah could have said don't do any work, you and your animal. Why does it say lo sa'asa komalacha ata ubincha
uvitecha, avdecha, va'amascha, uvehem techa.
Why does it say lo sasa kamalacha ata?
Ata lamli. That extra word ata is extra.
Why does it say the word ata? Well, if you say lo sasa kamalacha, don't do work, that means you can't do work. Why do you have to say explicitly lo sasa kamalacha, don't do any work? You, ata. Why say the word ata? So the fact that the Torah says ata is to say like this. Ata, you can't do the work. Who knew the machayiv? If you do the work, you get punished with lashes. Behemto. But if your animal did the work, lo machayiv, it's not a full prohibition, and it wouldn't get lashes. Okay, that completes the discussion of machamer. And now we're going to move into the issues of mukta. Remember, the Mishnah said that if a person is traveling to home, and the day is getting late on Friday, and he has a problem, he's carrying a wallet, so the best thing to do is give it to a non-Jew. He doesn't have a non-Jew to give it to, he should just put it on his donkey and keep traveling. Let the donkey keep leading it. When he gets to the outer courtyard of the city, then he should untie the rope of the wallet and let the wallet fall to the ground in the outer courtyard. That's what the Mishnah said. When he gets to the outer courtyard, when he told him the Shabbos, he can take those utensils that are not muktzah, that are allowed to be carried around on Shabbos. There's any tell him the Shabbos, but those utensils that are muktzah, like the wallet, matir sachavala, he unties the rope, vein oflin meilein, and they fall to the floor. Amar Ravuna asked the following question. What happens if the animal is carrying glass utensils? So now what's he going to do? So glass, we're going to see, is muktzah. So how's he going to move it? So Rav Huna said, maybe karmuk sasos, bring pillow and blankets, maniach takta, put it underneath the donkey in this outer courtyard of the city. Umatir achaval, untie the ropes, vasakim noflim, and let the bags with the glass fall onto the soft landing of the pillows and the blankets. Asks Gemara, why did he say that? Vanantan, didn't we learn a Mishnah? You're allowed to carry utensils that are allowed to be carried on Shabbos, right off of the donkey. So the Gemara says, Kikama, Rav Huna. What is Rav Huna referring to? Bekarni de umna. We're talking about the horns of glass of the blood letters, the lo chazile, that basically are not usable on Shabbos because they're filled with blood. So since they're not usable, they're muktza machmas mios. They're set out of mind. So therefore, you can't carry them, but you can put pillows underneath the bags that hold them, then untie the bags and let the bags fall onto the pillows. Ask the Gemara, how could you put muktz on a pillow? Hakamavata kli meichana. When you're dropping a muktz item onto a pillow, that's rabbinically prohibited because now you can't move the pillow. So that's a form of breaking. It's a form of soser. It's like destroying something. So now that I do that, before you had the glass on the pillow was movable. Now that you drop the muktzah glass on the pillow is not movable. So it's like ruining the pillow. Now that it ruined things on Shabbos. So answer the Gemara, b'shlifei zutri, we're talking about these small packages. So since they're small packages, once they fall on the pillow, you can slide the pillow out from them, from underneath them, and then they'll get to the floor, and that'll be fine. So you're not really making it impossible to use the pillow. Okay, this is the idea of Rav Huna. If you have the little test tubes that were used in the lab, and they have some blood on them, and they're in your bags, and you're coming to the town on Shabbos, so when you get to the town, put pillows underneath the bags, untie the bags, let them fall on the pillows, and then slip the pillows away, because these are little tubes, and then the tubes can fall to the floor. And in that way, you didn't in any way move muktzah, you didn't pick up muktzah with your hand and move it. You didn't cause a pillow to be immovable. You didn't ruin the utensil on Shabbos. And that would be your way of handling this problem. Esvei, the Gemara challenges us. We learned, let's say your animal was transporting tevel, grain, that the chumas and maisos were not separated from it. Or ashashios, these big cuts of glass. So what does the Braisa say? Matres achavon, he unties the ropes. Asakim noflin, and the bags can fall. V'yafal pi shemishtabrin, and even though the glass would break when you drop it from the animal, you're not allowed to pick it up with your own hands. I didn't give you the solution of putting pillows and blankets underneath. Apparently you can't, because that would be bevatel kli meichano, ruining the utensil from being used on Shabbos. Gemara said, no, Hasam over there is talking about bekusla, big pieces of glass, and those are big pieces of glass that you use for windows. Anyway, they're going to be cut up. And since they're going to be cut up anyway, there's no problem in just dropping them off of the donkey, even though they might crack a bit. And therefore, since anyway they're going to be cut into pieces, the rabbis there did not allow you to go bring pillows and blankets to cushion the fall. Teikanami, that's clearly the case of the Braisa. The Katani Dumya de Tevel, it's comparing the cuts of glass to Tevel, to grain that you didn't separate Shumas and Maises from. So Ma Tevel Lo Chazile. Grain is something which you can't use on Shabbos. If you didn't separate chumas and maizus, it's just not kosher. There's no use. So afachanami lo chazile, must be here. We're talking about big glass. It's something which has no use. So Gemara says, umai, and then what's the meaning of what the Braisa says? Afal pishim ishtabrim, even though they break. I mean, that's the actual point. The point is that we want them to break a little bit. It's not a problem for them to break a little bit. So Gemara answers, ma, the Tema would have thought to say, since we know that when they come down, they're going to break into pieces. So maybe Lev said, Mu'at Nami Chayshina, maybe we should be worried about a small loss because some of the shards won't be usable. And therefore, we should allow you to put pillows and blankets underneath the glass. Come Ashmalan, it's the Chiddush of the Braisa that no, we're not worried about a small loss and we don't allow you to bring pillows and blankets underneath the big pieces of glass. Tanya, we're going to Braisa. Reb Shimon Yochai Omer, Reb Shimon Yochai said, let's say your animal is carrying on Friday into Shabbos a package of grain that you didn't separate chumas and maizes from, so tevel, and therefore you're not allowed to carry it. Maniach rosho tachta, you can put your head underneath this package, umesalkol etzad acher, and move it to another side. V'hu nofel me'elav, and then it can fall on its own. The idea is that this is tiltul min atzad. The rabbis who created a law of not moving muktzah, that means to move it in the normal way. Take it with your hand, pick it up, and move it. But to move it with your shoulder, to move it with your head, that would be okay. Chamorosh Rebbe Gamliel. Now a story. The donkey of Rebbe Gamliel, haisa tzuna dvash, was loaded up with honey. Alorotza lefarka ad matzoi Shabbos. He didn't want to take it off until after Shabbos. And therefore, l'motzoi Shabbos Mesa, unfortunately, after Shabbos, it died. So the Gemara asks, I understand, why did Rabbi Gamliel do this? I'm not time. What about our Mishnah? No tel kelim ani talim. You're allowed to take the utensils that are movable off of the donkey. And honey is certainly something movable. So my answer is, the case was like this. Kishehidbish. The honey had spoiled and had become vinegar, and therefore it wasn't usable, and that's why it was muktzah and it wouldn't move it. Hidbish l'mai chazi. So then why is Rabbi Gamliel transporting spoiled vinegar? What is he needed for? And it says, L'ktiti the gamla. It could be put on the wound in the back of a donkey. But on Shabbos, this would have no use because as the Ritva explains, you're not allowed to do any medicine for animals on Shabbos. So Gemara asks again on this story with Rabbi Gamliel, why did he just let the donkey die? Yatir chavalim v'yiplu sakim. Why didn't he just untie the ropes and let the bags fall? Answer the Gemara. The case was mitz to duziki. Then the packages holding the honey would have broken. These big leather bags, when they would have fallen to the ground, they would have broken. And he wanted to use them in other cases. That's why he didn't drop them to the ground. Why didn't he do Rav Huna's solution? Why didn't he bring pillows and put it underneath the honey bags and then drop the honey onto the pillows and the blankets? The answer is mitanfi. Then the pillows would get dirty and then they wouldn't be usable. And that would make it unusable, make a pillow unusable on Shabbos. But how could he let this happen? He's causing pain to an animal. Rabbi Gamliel holds Tzar Balechayim that the prohibition of causing pain to an animal is only Drabanan. And since only Drabanan, it wouldn't overrule the other din Drabanan of moving, not allowing you to move Muktzah. Abaye, Ashkila Rabba, Abaye once met Rabba, the Kamashavshi Le Libre Agava de Chamra, that he was rubbing his son on a donkey. So his son was sitting on a donkey. And he was rubbing his son's back. So, you know, I guess tickling his son. Give his son a good time. Amar le, Abaye said to Rabba, Kamishtami Shmai Rabba Lechai. Is our master using a living creature? We have a Mishnah in Maseches Beitza. That because of the prohibition of not pulling a branch off of a tree, kotzer, the rabbis prohibited riding on a living animal on Shabbos, and even climbing onto a living animal on Shabbos. Amarle, so Rabbi answered his student, Abaye, Studenheim. The kids are not actually on the back of the donkey, they're on the sides of the donkey. And since it's an unusual usage, the rabbis never created a prohibition for such use of an animal. Rabbi continued. Not Tamra, how do I know to tell you this? That's not because we learned in our Mishnah. If the animal's carrying things on Friday into Shabbos, and you get to the edge of the city, Matir Chavalim, you can untie the ropes, Vasakin Noflin, and the bags can fall. My love, presumably, Bechever Guvalki. We're talking about those two bags are on the two sides of the donkey. And they're connected with ropes. When you untie the ropes, and you're, you know, basically rubbing against the side of the animal. And apparently it's allowed. The rabbis never said you're not allowed to use the sides of the animal. So Gemara says, no, that's not the type of bag that we're talking about. We can say that the Mishnah is talking about bechever aglufki. We're talking about the bags that are not attached. And they're not attached to each other. But rather, there's a little nail that's on a ring at the top of the string. And when you pull this string, the nail comes out and the bag falls. The law would study in this situation, this type of a bag on the back of the donkey, you don't have to use the sides of the donkey. Inami, alternatively, we can say that we're talking about the lachta. That you have a ring at the head of each bag, there is a ring of rope, and you put this ring into another ring, and you take a little stick and you put it into the inner ring, and that's how you hold the two bags. And then when you want to undo the bags, you just pull out the stick and the bags fall. And here again, you're not using the sides of the animal to get the bags off of the animal. A question here in the chat. Is kotzer prohibited? Correct. Yeah. Kotzer is prohibited because you might tear a tree branch off of the tree while riding the animal, and it might be an issue of kotzer, of detaching something from the tree. So now, Abaye, again, the student of Rabba, and he sees that Rabba is entertaining his son with the animal on Shabbos. Esvi challenged him, didn't we learn in the Mishnah in Sukkah, Shtayim bidei Adam, two of the walls of the Sukkah can be made by a person. V'achas b'ilan, the third wall can be a tree, and the Sukkah would be kosher. However, ain olam b'yom tov, you wouldn't be able to go into such a Sukkah on Yom Tov, because they used to put things on the schach, and if the schach is always supported by the walls, if the wall is a tree, that means you're using a tree on Yom Tov. So my love, the chakba bi'ilan. Now presumably the case is that you carved into the tree, and you put branches into the carvings of the tree. Davlut stud, you're not really using the top of the tree, you're using the side of the tree. Right, you're using something which is attached to the tree. It's the sides of the tree. And even so, you're not allowed to go onto it on Yom Tov. It's Tadun Asur. Even the same way you can't use the sin of climbing a tree on Yom Tov is the same thing as using an animal. It's a prohibition of maybe you're going to detach things. So you see that the sides are also included in the prohibition. So Mezalon, that's not the case. Rather, the chafi le'ila, he bent over the branches of the tree and he tied them to each other and made them into a wall. And he put the schach directly on the tree. He's literally using the tree. Yach, if that's the case, he must say, read the end of that Mishnah. Shalosh bide adam. Three of the walls are by man. Achas bilin. The fourth is through the tree. Ksheira, the sukkah's kosher. V'olam b'yom tov. And you can enter in on yom tov. Ida kafi le'ilan. If you bent over the tree, amai olam b'yom tov. Why can you walk into it on yom tov? Elamais, what are you going to say? Tzadin asur. We're talking about the sides. Sof still. Amai, why? Olam b'yom tov. Even if it's the fourth wall, you're still using the side. Oh, you're going to have to tell me, Hassam, the case when you can enter the sukkah where one wall is a tree. Bigvaza parsichna. We're talking about a tree with many, many branches. Ti'ilan gufe dofen ba'almu deshavya. That the tree itself is the wall. And you're not leaning schach on the tree. The tree is the wall. So therefore, the schach is not considered the sides of the tree. And you can use that sukkah on Yom Tov. So, turns out that the end, the last case, where the fourth wall is the tree, is that you're not leaning the schach on the tree. Whereas in the reisha, where the sukkah has two walls and the third wall is a tree, you're leaning the schach on that tree wall. So now we can say that if the tree wall is made from the tree itself, you're not allowed to enter it the sukkah on Yom Tov because you're using the tree, but it's not a proof that the sides, things attached to the tree, would be also prohibited. Tekanami, there's also a proof to this. Tekatani, because we went to the Mishnah. Zakal, the Mishnah says, "Kol shiliyin natal ilan." If you were to take away the tree, v'yichol olam, the sukkah could still stand. Olam b'Yom Tov, then you can enter into it on Yom Tov. So it must be the sukkah is not leaning on the tree. So shemamina. That is, in fact, correct. All right, now we're going to talk about this question. Can you use the sides of an animal? Lema ketanoi. Maybe this is a machlokas tanoi. We learned in a brisa. Ein olam b'yom tov. You can't walk into a sukkah that's leaning on a tree on Yom Tov. Or Reb Shimon Elazar, Om Shimon Reb Elazar, olam b'yom tov. You can walk into such a sukkah on Yom Tov. My lav ba'kamif. This is the argument. Ma'asav etzad nasur. One holds at the sides of a tree, that which is leaning on the tree, also becomes prohibited like the tree. Umar Savon holds mutar. It's permitted. Amar Rabbi Lo, not necessarily. Tukuli Amat Sadna Surin. Maybe the sides are also prohibited. V'achabet Sidet Sadin Kamifugi. Maybe here we're talking about the side of the side. In other words, you attach something to something which was attached to the tree. That you're using the schach, which is attached to reeds, and the reeds. I mean, the schach is leaning on the reeds, and the reeds are leaning on the tree. Mar savar tzadei tzadin asurin. One holds the sides of the sides are also prohibited. Mar savar tzadei tzadin mutarin. The other opinion holds the sides of the sides are permitted. Okay, ad kan daf kuf nun dalet. Everyone should have a wonderful day and a wonderful Shabbos.